Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Today is Remembrance Sunday here in England and throughout, I think, all of the British realm, or what was formerly the British realm. I'm not sure if all of those countries that were part of it still celebrated, if you want to use the word celebrate, probably observe is more appropriate. It is to commemorate the deaths of those that have fought to preserve the freedoms of this nation over the course of many wars, but I guess it really began with World War I and has gone on since then with World War II and other conflicts. And it is something that I think England does a much better job, or the UK does a much better job in remembering those that have fought for its freedoms than the US does. The nation seems to pause and really consider those things, where in the US, I think the Memorial Day, which is supposed to be for that, has really just become a holiday for time off work, as opposed to thinking of those that have sacrificed for the nation. But as we think about those things, as we consider those that have fought on our behalf, whether it's here in England or in other countries around the world, and remember the sacrifices that they have made, I think it's appropriate to think about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made for the true battle that each person wages, the true war that is faced, that we each are faced with. Because sin is so rampant in our lives, it is so devastating that there is no victory without Jesus Christ. I think it is a good thing to remember Him more so than even anyone else. And when I think about this nation, you can think of so many that have gone on before, some of the great names in Christian history that have preached the gospel, that have proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, and have had such an effect on nations because of the preaching, whether it be Owen or Spurgeon, or you think of the Wesley brothers and Whitfield, who objective historians will say changed the course of this nation because it looked like it was going down the same road as France was when you think of the French Revolution. But because of the gospel influence, that the course of the nation was changed. But others as well, you think of Christmas Evans and John Gill and Martin Lloyd-Jones and J.C. Ryle and so many that have gone before proclaiming the truths of God's Word in this land. And it is humbling to think about, but it is also concerning to think about, because as you look around the country, you wonder how many are truly proclaiming it now, as opposed to in comparison to days past. And you would have to say not as many. There aren't as many listening. There aren't as many preaching. And it is good for us to remember what it should be about. And so tonight's message, Remember the Old Paths, is taken from J.C. Ryle, who composed a book of that title, speaking about the different doctrines of the Christian faith and calling those the old paths. But he takes it from Jeremiah chapter 6. He takes the title of that book from Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And it says, Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over them, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. When we consider this, you have to recognize who is speaking. You know, so many will think about God and proclaim that God is not a kind and loving God, especially when they look at what they think of as the God of the Old Testament versus Jesus in the New Testament. And they consider them to be different in some way. But in fact, we know that they are the same God. That is, there is only one God. And it is Jehovah speaking. He says, thus saith Jehovah. It's Jehovah speaking. It is the Lord speaking, and He is giving us a warning. He's giving specifically here the people in Jeremiah's day a very sound warning, because the people in Jeremiah's day had departed far from the Lord. They had gone far from His ways. They were, at the end of Jeremiah's ministry, they were going to be carried away into captivity. Jerusalem and the temple were to be destroyed. These things were to be torn apart. And there's a warning here in the beginning of his ministry to stop, to take account of things, to look about them, and to examine where are the old paths. And that's the warning of Jehovah. That's the warning of the Lord. That's not a warning thinking, oh, I'm going to come down in judgment harshly upon you. It's a warning of love to say, consider where you are, look about you, and find the old paths. Find the good way. And when you find the good way, walk in it. Follow in it. And you will find rest for your souls. And we're going to see as we go through this, hopefully, how much of this resembles and reflects and foretells of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, there are many paths in life, and God recognizes this. Jehovah recognizes this. He says, go to the center. Go to the crossroads and look at things. Look at all the paths that life can take. There are so many, whether it be family or whether it be work or whether it be pleasure. There are so many things that we can allow our lives to be consumed with. And we'll walk in those paths. We'll walk in those ways. You know, I'm not anywhere near the walker that others are, but you have to know where the signs are to stay on the right path. You have to know which sign you're following, so that if you come to a crossroads and there are five signs pointing in different directions, you need to know which path you're taking. That's the idea here, that you go to these crossroads and you consider, and you find out which is the right path, which is the good path to follow. But then not only finding out what the path is, but walk in that path. And that is Jehovah speaking. He's speaking to the Israelites. And the Israelites, as we'll see, didn't listen. They didn't hear. And He gave them further warnings. And they still didn't listen. The question is, will we listen? Will we remember the old paths? Will we consider those things? So let's look at the things that the Lord says to us. Take account of things. That's not an easy thing to do in today's society, to take account of our lives, to take account of where we are and if this is what we want or not. There are so many things that want to pull at our attention. They want to pull at our minds, whether it be for my children, video games, or for me, reading books or television or whatever the things that may consume our thoughts, to consume our time, but we don't consider what path we're taking and where we're devoting that time, and if that's the proper place to devote that time. And the Lord is telling us to take stock of things. Consider the paths that you've been walking upon. Are you self-aware? Jeremiah later on in chapter 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. See, sometimes we think we know what we're up to, but we're deceiving ourselves. We fool ourselves. Well, how can that be? Well, it's because we're sinners. Because the Bible tells us in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but that the wages of sin is death. But that's where we're walking. That's the path that we're in. And we don't consider that the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. We don't consider that. We continue to walk down that same path. It's like an alcoholic constantly taking the same road home every night, going right past the pub that he knows he's going to turn in at. Well, that's foolishness, isn't it? You say, well, he should walk a different way home, or he should get a ride home. But he never stops to consider those things. And we can say that, well, that person that's doing that alcoholic is struggling because of his own foolish actions. We can say that and look at him and say, foolish man. But do we consider our own paths? Do we consider our own ways? What paths do we do over and over and over again where we're doing the same thing, not considering what path we are on? See, God tells us to consider that, to find out where the old paths are. Find out what the right path is. Find out the path that these men of old kept preaching about. Find out about the path that changes the course of nations. Find out about the path that changes the course of the human heart. Find out about the path that changes the destination for the human soul. Ask for the good way and then walk therein. Find out what the good way is. So who do you ask? And Psalm 1 tells us who not to ask. And it says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Stand not in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But the opposite is true, isn't it? Consider to go to the godly. Consider to go to those that you recognize are following after God. And follow after them. Ask for the good paths from those folk. It's important who you ask. Some people will tell you, well, you're all right where you are. Are they speaking the truth in love? What is the good way? I read this in our scripture reading, Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 3 through 10. This is clearly a prophecy concerning the Messiah. And it's an encouragement. Isaiah is speaking, and Isaiah lived before Jeremiah. I believe about 150 odd years or so before Jeremiah. And Isaiah is trying to encourage the people of his day. And he says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. That's what he's coming for. He's not coming to condemn. The world is already condemned. Those that believe not are already condemned. He is coming to save. And he says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Well, who gave sight to the blind? Jesus Christ. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Who made the deaf to hear? Jesus Christ. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart. Who made the lame to walk? Jesus Christ. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Who made the dumb to speak? Jesus Christ. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. What does Jesus say will spring out from those that follow him? Fountains of water springing into eternal life. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. There's a highway there. There's a way. It's the same way that Jeremiah is calling the old paths. He's saying, Isaiah told you about this 150 years ago. That's the old path. That's the good way. Ask for the good way, and when you find the good way, walk in it. Jeremiah is telling his people to go back to the book of Isaiah. Find out where that good way is. Isaiah is telling us that way is Jesus Christ. That way is the Messiah. He is the one, the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. You know, it's a fascinating statement. The unclean shall not pass over it. Because I know that I'm a sinner. But you know what? I'm a clean sinner. Not because of something that I have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. Because I've been washed in his blood. I've been cleansed from my sin. So that even though I am still a sinner, I'm a clean sinner. I'm no longer unclean in the eyes of God. And so when he says, it shall be for those, it's not talking about the unclean. It's not talking about those that are sinners, that are unrepentant. It's talking about those that have turned to Christ in faith. That's who it's for. And look at the promise that he gives. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. You know, there's going to be events that take place in the life of a believer. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be trials. That's not what he's saying when he says there's no ravenous beast there. But what will happen to a believer if there's circumstances that go against them. Spiritually speaking, they have eternal life. They possess it. It's a present reality. And no ravenous beast, no circumstance in this life can take that life away. There's no beast that can get into that way and take someone out of that way. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's the promise. That's the way that Jeremiah is speaking about. That's the way that Isaiah is speaking about when he says, consider the old paths. What does Jesus say? He saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's Jesus' promise. Well, that's the same way that Isaiah was speaking about. That's the same way that Jeremiah was pointing his people towards. It is the way. That's why Christians were not called Christians to start with. It was many years before they were called Christians. They were called people of the way. Because it's the way of holiness. It's the way of Christ. It's the way of the old paths, of the good way. Jesus says in Matthew 7, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That way is Jesus Christ. He is the gate. He is the way. There is no entrance without Him. There is no way to come up some other way. And once you're in that way, there's no way, there's no possibility of someone taking you out of that way. It is the promise of Jesus Christ. It is the promise of a path. It is the promise of eternal life. And that's what we should be remembering. That's the thing that we ought to be thinking about. And it's amazing if you study the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And Jesus is called the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Those two things are very closely aligned. And if you study the book of Jeremiah, what you'll find over and over again are things that Jesus Christ taught. Things that He said. So that you notice when you read Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the promise of the way. That's the promise of the Messiah. That's the promise that the Lord gives, and He announces it. He announces it in Isaiah. He announces it before Isaiah, but He announces it in Isaiah. And Jeremiah is saying, think back to what Isaiah was talking about. Ask for the good way and then walk in the good way. What is the good way? It's Jesus Christ. It's the way of the Lord. What's man's response? Man's response hasn't really changed much. Now, they didn't respond well to Isaiah. They responded even worse to Jeremiah. And they respond the same way in today. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Wherein is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's the response of natural man. That's the response that people give. We will not walk therein. It's not because I've got something better to do. It's not because of anything else, but we will not. We're not going to walk there. We're not going to follow that path. I'm going to follow my own path. I know better. I know what's right for me. There's all kinds of excuses that can be made as to why someone has no interest in God or the things of God, but it comes down to the point of, I will not. I don't want it. You know, you can't determine your relationship with God based off of other people. Whether it's myself, whether it's someone else you know, whether it's family members or anyone else. Your friends are not interested. And you say I will not because my friends aren't interested. My family's not interested. None of my family members are interested. My family of origin, I mean. They don't have any interest whatsoever. And the question that I have to ask myself, well, if I believe it, what does it mean for them? That's not the question I should ask myself. I should ask myself, if I believe it, what does it mean for me? What does it mean if I don't believe it? What does it mean if I don't listen? I need to listen. I need to ask for those old paths. I need to walk therein. There's all kinds of reasons. My father-in-law to this day will blame a preacher that he knew 35 years ago, 40 years ago, I guess 45 years ago. And he'll blame that preacher for why he won't listen today. That's not good enough. He just doesn't want to listen. He doesn't want to hear that Jesus Christ paid the price for his sin because he thinks he's strong enough to do it himself. No, Jesus Christ paid the price. Look around. Take stock of your life. Ask for the good way. And then walk therein. But he doesn't stop there. He hears that response. He hears that response, I will not listen. I will not walk therein. But he says in verse 17, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. That's the sound of the warning. That's what the trumpet was for. There's a warning coming. There's trials ahead. You know, the Spirit of God convicts the world of sin. That's one of the works of the Holy Spirit, to convict of sin. But people constantly try and sear their conscience. They constantly try and put the things of God far away so they don't have to think about and not have to confront the fact that there's sin in the world, that there's sin in their lives. To the point where there are supposed Christians that we know today that would say, well, I don't want to use the word sin. I don't want to use the word sin. I don't want to use the word hell because that's not what we talk about today. Well, that's not what you talk about today. Then you're not talking about Jesus Christ. You're not talking about the good way. Because he says to look and consider. The path you're walking on is not the good way. You need to consider, you need to remember what Jesus Christ said. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you're not coming to the Father, that means you're going somewhere else. And it's going where your sin has taken you. But he continues to blow the trumpet. He continues to give preachers the gospel. People proclaiming the word of God. And the worst judgment that a nation can experience is a famine of God's word. A famine of the gospel. You know, right now I got back from Nepal and they're having an incredibly difficult time because of the fuel shortage that's being caused by another nation. And people are struggling for food, to be able to cook their food, to be able to move around because all of their food gets imported. And you say, well, that's an awful situation. A worse situation is to have a famine of God's word. In Amos chapter 8 it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That's the worst possible famine. When there's no preacher of the gospel. When there's no one saying, consider the old paths. When there's no one saying, remember Jesus Christ. Remember who he is. Remember what he did. Remember his death, burial, and resurrection to pay the price for sinners, to pay the price for sin. And what does it cost? It cost him everything. What does it cost you? It costs you faith. It costs you turning from your own strength, turning from your own ways, turning from your own mindsets, and turning to Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, take me to be your child. Help my unbelief. Don't be like the people of Jeremiah's day that said, we will not hearken. Because they said it again after that trumpet was being blown. We will not hearken. And for the 40 years, Jeremiah kept proclaiming to consider those old paths. And for 40 years, the people kept saying, "We will not listen. We will not listen." Even after Nebuchadnezzar comes and destroys the nation, destroys Jerusalem, destroys the temple, they still said to Jeremiah, "We will not listen." What will it take for us to take stock of things? What event in our lives, what event in a nation is it going to take for us to think and to say, "I need to consider my ways. I need to consider what path I'm on. I need to ask for the good way and then walk in it." But remember what it says in Amos. There's going to be a day where people are going to ask for the words of the Lord and they're not going to find them. That was the promise that was given to the nation of Judah. There's going to be a day where you're not going to be able to hear the words of the Lord. I pray that what day won't happen in England. I pray that day won't happen in the nations on the earth today. But you can see throughout history at times, there have been nations that haven't heard the word of the Lord. There's generations of Russians that never heard the word of the Lord because of communism. There's generations that have been throughout Europe that haven't heard the word of the Lord because of their own mindset about money. Because they're focused on what they can get. And they kicked true Christians out of the countries. There's generations that go without hearing the word of the Lord. We've heard the word of the Lord. Consider the old paths. Where is the good way? But not just find out about it. Walk in it. Turn towards it. Turn to Christ. Consider and look and ask and see, but then walk therein, trust therein. Remember, the trumpet here is not a call to judgment. It's a call to repentance. It's a call of warning to say, turn from your path and turn to Christ. One day that trumpet will be a call to judgment. Oh, that we would to know Christ before that day, that we have eternal life. And so we point you to Christ.